Hey, Adam.
You
can park in the driveway.
That's good.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello. Levels are all right, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like a little bit of a monster. I put this on and it made my face really white.
It's okay.
But I also want
what
to
what if it made you not white? You know, it's like soup. Like, I used to work at Albertsons, the grocery store, and they'd always have super glue. And somebody came in once, and they go, do you guys have glue that's not so super? And it was my first taste of, like, somebody who's not a comic trying to do bits on me. And I wasn't even a comic yet, so I didn't even know if it was a bit. Now, looking back, totally, just a guy doing a bit. Couldn't pick up on it. He goes, do you have any super glue?
Why do you think that you kept that memory?
I don't know, dude. Isn't that crazy how quickly that just came up from you? From me just doing a non-bit about, I don't know, it was like the idea of sunscreen and you being white and it turning you not white.
Yeah.
And then something doing something the opposite of what it says it's going to do.
I understood the math. Oh,
so when a joke is said.
Wait, yeah, let me fix these.
Yeah. Check, check, check. Check, 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 check. Check, check. Where do you usually keep it, in between the 6 and the 7?
You're the first person that asked? Yeah.
Well, I save all my real personal questions till I get on a roof.
Each other's sentences. Huh?
So, fuck.
I never get that right. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, this is cool, man. We're for those of you who are not in the know, then we're
at the fucking internet, man.
Yeah, we're at the beach, baby, and Adam's sleeping over.
Yeah, this is great. I don't think I've... So, when you asked me if I wanted to sleep over, my first instinct was... And then I go, there better be people kayaking in yellow and green kayaks to my right.
Just call us Jewish.
Yeah. That's a Jewish concern.
Well, that was
gonna be kayaks?
That was a guy who puts the wrong emphasis when calling someone a kike.
Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck. I didn't honestly know that a kike was a derogatory term until about 2 hours ago. No, until about 2 years ago. For real.
Albertsons.
We'll everything be right back.
If you're looking for just the right flooring, you need choices. And at Marshall Carpet One, you'll certainly find them.
And that was the second time I put paper inside of the plastic.
Out of all the things you could have used to put there, I'm going to have to scramble to find paper and plastic. I guess it's like a grocery store paying or bag thing.
Yeah.
So you were talking about kikes being...
Well, I didn't know that was a derogatory term towards Jews.
Did you just think it meant Jewish?
I knew it probably wasn't great because the way that people said it. It was just like, you kike. Like, I think is the way I first heard it. And I go, that doesn't sound like someone wants to be called that.
Right.
The way you're delivering that.
Say something nice in that delivery and let me hear how that sounds bad.
Hey, Mom, there's a cool guy.
No. I mean, say da-da, but the words are nice.
Oh. You've got a great haircut.
That didn't sound bad.
Yeah. I'm gonna bend you over this roof and dangle your wallet over the side, and all your coins are going to fall out. People are going to know how rich you are.
That sounds like Al Pacino.
Hoo-ah!
All right, so...
You got a lot of change. Hoo-ah. But you're not making much in your life. Hoo-ah.
Dude, there was so much equipment and so much prep work to get this all up on a roof with buying the extra wires. And by the way, I'm super happy with how this is going.
It looks so good, by the way.
I hope it comes out and things are in focus. I didn't have time to test anything.
There's a sailboat getting ready to swiftly glide behind the back of your head.
That is our second unit.
They're getting nice drone shots.
But the reason I say that is because, like, you know, you've been on, I think this is the fifth time, and there's no prep with you. You know, we just do it.
Put up a big five right here as I go, yeah, and then maybe five.
Yeah, why don't you punch, get some five coins, do a Mario thing. and then have a mushroom come and make you.
Okay, so then here's the mushroom box. And then it hits my head and I go,
perfect. $4,000 later.
Worth it.
But what I was saying is that the art, the medium of podcasting is capturing honest moments that you're producing still. So like, hey, Adam, I don't know what we're going to do, but I'm going to put a lot of work into everything except for the content.
Cool.
And then let's go. And then we start and it's just Al Pacino, mushroom, kike talk, the usual.
Marry, fuck, kill.
Yeah, like in the description.
It's how it should be, though. If you take creative people and people that are loose but concise with the way that they...
Panicking, trying to find it.
Help me out, Owl. you're just going to sit there with that glazed look on your face?
Good.
Boy, lay off the pot. Who do you get your weed from?
Oh, no.
All right. But
so you're saying artists?
Yeah. I think setting it up like you did and finding people that you can vibe with that can just jump into a given environment and not have to, I know not to question what's up. You gave me enough info about like, hey, do you want to come sleep over? I think it'd be fun to do a podcast. I hadn't had a sleepover since
2 years ago when your best friend called you a kike.
You're a kike. You want to stay the night? I've got two different types of Frosted Flakes. And I go, well, and that's a red flag because there's only one. The other ones are not great. They're pretty good.
We'll edit this out.
No, you're keeping it. Just put it towards the back. And so I was so on board because I just know how methodical you are with this stuff, like you just mentioned. And then I go, oh, cool. All I have to worry about is coming ready to play.
Great. With some, and what cologne are you wearing?
Oh, at John Varvatos. Mm. You can't not say that and feel like a big piece of shit. Because it's too fancy. But guess what? Is this my Varvatos cam?
we'll put a Varvatos cam border up. I probably won't.
Good job.
Oh. You know, we set this stuff up, the Owls, the Varvatos cam, and then you just go, they're like, all right, I guess.
Hi, I'm John Varvatos. Come on into our store. We got shirts, pants, cologne. Tired of smelling like a kike.
Whoa, whoa, John, whoa. John,
what?
John.
What's going on?
John, we don't do shirts.
You got it. Hi, I'm John V. You know what the rest sounds like. Look, we got pants, we got hoodies you can cut into shirts, but only for those non-kikes.
Okay.
Huh? What's going on?
I'm actually concerned how many times we're saying
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's so fine. We'll bleep it out.
I don't know.
But this is... Look, doing podcasts outside.
This is amazing.
I've only become something in the zeitgeist since the Balcony series of Tyso. And I think many can attest to that are viewing this.
Is there a memory you have from your Tyso Balcony episode? We could cut to a little sneak peek for people to check it out.
Oh, man. How about me climbing, just the initial climb? I think that set the whole stage for how it was going to go.
I
was panicking.
Tell me. Oh.
I was panicking and tried to dilute my panic by singing about what was happening.
Camp Anawana, I hold you in our hearts.
It's a real minor key.
Hearts.
It's actually a 7.
Hearts. And when I think about you, it makes me wanna find.
That wasn't the clip, but that was funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
I haven't been near the water, well, since I went to Newport with Divine, and we went over to Catalina about 3 weeks ago, and I love it. I didn't grow up near the water, but Seattle and a lot of lakes and bodies of water and a guy that doesn't know anything
panic,
else in a lake. What's that word? It's a big one. It rhymes with
Bayo.
There's a popular 80s singer with the last name that of the same
Bayo.
Note.
Bayo.
No, Ocean. Billy Ocean.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about Scott Bayo.
Like that. Wait, is a Bayo a body of water? Oh, a bayou.
Let's try to say that one times faster.
is Bayou a body of water? Oh, it's bayou.
Yeah. It's right by you.
If I fell... Whoa.
If you fell off the roof, would anybody watch... We'll find out. Leave some comments or whatever the fuck. I want to talk.
This rules.
I want to talk now.
Yeah.
Me on the first date. All right, it's my turn.
Okay, Jesus.
On my couch.
You asked what was the first time I lost my virginity, and I thought it was a better story than 2 minutes. So, but anyway, yeah, go for it.
Okay, so on my podcast, I have a seating position. I sit. I know how to do it. I never think about how I'm sitting. And out here, there's something about the angle that this is and that I'm wearing the shorts where I feel like I want to... Here's what it is.
Yeah.
Here's strip all of the excuses. Okay. I am conscious of how I look on camera,
sure.
And
we all are.
I'm normally not. I want to look good, but I sometimes do, and I usually look at it and it's like, eh, whatever. But am I funny?
Yeah, yeah.
But out here, because like I don't know. I guess I'm not. It's a new set. I don't know what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
I'm feeling myself like. It's hard to have good posture.
Oh, for sure. Look at me. I mean, I'm sitting like I'm a third base coach. Who they told to sit in the dugout.
Come on.
And
he was
like, oh, you guys are just worried I'm going to say the K word out there.
More details.
And then they go, Billy, you got to go sit in the dugout. It's also COVID rules. We can't have that many coaches out there. You guys just don't like the way that I stand.
COVID rules kind of sounds like when you're playing street ball, but there's like a certain type of street ball. All right, double dutches, take backs and everything, COVID rules.
Yeah, can't hang on the rim. After you hit a three, you got to take it back.
COVID rules, it would be like, I think, like playing with people that don't like to pass.
Uh-huh.
And you just douse the net with
sanitize after
alcohol.
An alley-oop. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm saying the nets are wet with alcohol.
Did you ever get in trouble for hanging on the rim at recess? Did you ever have hoops that were lower and you hung on the rim after they blew the whistle? So it was like,
we'll just put in a whistle sound.
Yep. And, and so that was the end of recess. And then, but people would always jump up because we had these 8-foot hoops. And some of them started to get real slanted. So some
you can't
kids,
say that anymore.
And so some of the hoops would get
really. Hey, hi. I turned a shofar into a bong. But I'm chink. I said that, by the way.
You can't say that.
What?
Say, but I'm Asian American. That's Adam Ray on Read the Room.
No, it's not a show.
Thank you.
Now that's the clip I was talking about.
Okay.
but we would hang on the rim because it was cool, and it was also a defiance of authority. And Mrs. Wagner, rest in peace. She's probably still alive, but rest in peace her job, because I guarantee you she's still not teaching there. She'd be in her hundreds. I think she always looked like she was 60, but she might have been 35. But she had a big beer belly and a beard,
she sounds so
ugly. By the way, here's what's crazy. That voice I've been doing. Ironically, the fact that I'm like very smoothly bleeding into this next story, that's what she sounded like, Mrs. Wagner. I'm not even joking. Not even joking. Beard, pot belly, very sweet, little bit of a stash. And she always had a group of minions, like 6 or 8 kids that would follow her around the playground, which was sweet. And I think those kids didn't really, some of them just weren't looking to find a game. Some of them just, they were with their other friends. Some kids just went out to recess. They didn't want to be active. They would just sit on the concrete and like read or talk or draw.
I'm getting insecure because I'm not visualizing the story and I don't like it.
So Mrs. Wagner would come over, the whistle would blow.
There we go.
And then kids would jump up because you could somehow reach the hoop and hang on it. And it felt cool to just hang on a rim. And she would freak the fuck out.
Yeah, because they do break. And even if they don't break off, even worse, because when they break off, they fix a new one.
Yeah.
When the rims are like this. And now they're angled down a little bit. No, I didn't play sports until ninth grade. And then...
Oh, really? So you didn't even know you could dunk until...
I was able to dunk days after my senior year, the basketball season ended.
Wow.
I was in the gym, and I went to school with a shout-out to the Joneses, Kendall, Kyle, and Cameron. Not necessarily in that order, but the three of them.
Yeah. Also, is Jones really their last name?
Yeah, Jim Jones. He was an NBA player. And,
for real?
Yeah. And
see, that's what I would say if I wanted to act like I knew an NBA player growing up, but also wanted to say a name that someone definitely wouldn't Google. Like, I'm not Googling Jim Jones. I'm just taking your word for it, reading Rainbow
Anybody
style.
Who Googles Jim Jones, leave some type of fact or statistic in the comments below. But they... Jim, the Chones triplets, and they were known as the Chones triplets.
That's awesome.
Because, like, they were the guys. You know, they're 6'5" and 6'6" black kids, over 200 pounds in like, you know, 10th, 11th grade.
Now, I want to stop you real quick. You said 6'5" and 6 foot sick.
So,
and I know you meant to say six.
No, they were 6 foot sick.
6 foot sick. 6 foot sick.
They were, two of them were, I don't know how it worked, they're triplets, but two of them are identical. They were 6'6".
Okay.
And then one was 6'5".
Okay.
But they were all just, you know, amazing ball players. And they grew up in a ball playing family.
Yeah.
And they're the reason we got to play against LeBron a couple of years, because we were really good because of these guys.
Of the three Joneses.
Yeah. And
where's their documentary? And how come none of them went pro? And what's the mom doing right now?
Kyle, I think Kyle and Kendall both played overseas.
Yeah. Which is still respectable. That's
very cool.
Yeah.
And there's something about playing overseas and or D1 basketball that I relate to being on SNL. You could make a lot of money and become super successful from it, but even if nothing else happens, it's a cool thing to say, hey, my buddy Adam's coming over. You know he played D1?
Yeah.
You know, Adam was on SNL.
I know.
You know, there's something like it stays with you.
In the same
fraternity.
Year, yeah.
Yeah, he was at SNL and D1 in the same year.
Yeah.
But hold on, what was I bringing up? I wanted to bring up
the Joneses.
So after basketball.
What if you just go, and anyway, that's not a real family. But,
no, I'm just joking. Anyone who Google knows already.
Yeah.
No, but it was Kendall and I were in the gym,
okay.
And no one else was there. School was over. And
hot. Go on.
I always thought, I'm not sexually attracted, but I always thought, oh, he's obviously a good looking guy.
Yeah.
There was something about being in the place where we were always so physical, but alone for the first time,
uh-huh.
That really made me want to dunk, if you know what I mean. Put the ball in the hoop. shoot, scoop-de-doop. And this guy was 6 foot sick, baby. And he taught me how to jump higher. Like, it wasn't even like do these drills.
Yeah.
It was, I'm not dunking. And then try this, and then dunked. And then I kept dunking.
He must have seen something, though, in your athletic abilities to think that you could maybe follow suit, no?
Maybe, but he was just, it was basically just...
A lot of people wouldn't look at you and go, okay, I could probably get up.
Not now.
Back then, yeah?
No.
So what?
I used to be in good shape.
You're still in good shape. What did Kendall see that most of us...
I could palm the ball, and I was getting up there. It just, not. I was like, if you lowered it an inch, I'm good.
Okay.
So I'm so close to it. So how could we boost a little bit? And obviously, if you're right-handed, you jump off the left leg.
Yeah.
But just like, I don't remember exactly what they all were because they're just kind of built in now. But just technique and jumping, and this is corny, but this is so, like, honest. There's a confidence in it because once I was able to dunk, I was like, ew, I just became grossed out about what we were talking about.
You?
Yeah.
Why?
Who gives a fuck?
Because it's I don't know. It's an impressive moment and an important moment in your life where someone went out of their way to show confidence in you, and you did something, and you did it.
Yeah,
so that's incredibly invaluable.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah,
and once I was able to do it, we could visualize something. It doesn't mean you could do it, but it becomes easier.
Yes,
I mean in art or in like when you could actually, I know what it's like. If you go to the comedy store on a stage that you could visualize, it's just a comfort level to it. Once I was able to do it, I was able to do it every time.
Wow.
I did it until my hand started bleeding. And I remember I was going out into the hallway asking kids to come in.
Yep.
Mr. Fuck, don't remember his name. But
that was it.
It's Mr. Fuck something.
Can you imagine if your name is so not memorable? See, now, real quick, is the word immemorable, unmemorable? Or because I just had to go not memorable.
We'll find out right after a word from our sponsors. Hi, I got a question. Do you want news made smart and simple? I certainly don't.
Rick, yes you do. Everybody does. Hey guys, it's me, John DeWalt, from Tyso Episode 1, the first time that Rick did the show, and the holiday, 8 Nights of Tyso. I was the least viewed one of those 8 that he did. What's up, man?
Hey, John.
Dude, in this era of war on information, of course you want your news made simple. That's why I'm here representing the Logically app, which combines sophisticated AI with human fact checkers like me. And Rick, the app is free to use. It's blowing up with huge numbers. It's a very professional, legit app. Why aren't you wearing a suit? You look like shit. You're dressed horribly. You look like shit, dude. You look like ass.
Okay.
You gotta look better.
Okay.
And take it more seriously.
Oh, I think I get it. So you're saying Logically is helping by bringing the trust back to the poop?
Not trust back to the poop wreck. Trust back to the news.
Oh.
Thank you so much, sweetheart.
So Logically gives you access to a team of dedicated fact checkers.
Bingo. And let's try it. This sitting with me right here is Ruth Bader Ginsburg eating M&Ms.
False.
I think my friend Rick is starting to get the picture.
So you as a user can submit reports and articles to the app to get checked?
Yeah, and if you didn't, you know what I would say? I would dissent.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So there are credible sources to back up the verdict, yes, of the article. Download the Logically app today to have access to real fact checkers and receive news that's real.
And you want to know some news that's fake? We're not even here right now, Rick. This is all part of your crazy imagination because you're such a weird guy.
And then you gotta, and then we'll do a crossfade. Download the Logically app today to have access to real fact checkers and receive news that's real. Available on Google Play and the App Store, or head over to logically.ai to find out more. Oh, and one more thing. I'm not even Rick.
I'm a baby. Thanks, Logically.
So, not memorable is what unmemorable means.
Right.
Yeah. So I just went out of my way because I had a verbal insecurity where I go, oh, unmemorable isn't a word. Because I don't feel like I've said it. Muscle memory.
Bewildered. Maybe you just forgot.
Bewildered. Synonym. Cinnamon. I've said these. Yeah. I've tasted them.
You can visualize it. Yeah, that's funny.
But
nervous again. Nervous again. Or you just see like a really hot girl behind me.
Second date and I
But.
She just turns around and goes, but.
That's
she
her goes, second team.
And then basically there's just a butt hanging out of this girl's shorts. And she goes, oh, I thought you were losing your train of thought. No, I just wanted to, I have a problem where I can't not notice a butt.
Yeah, whatever, dork.
No, but but the unmemorable.
What was the last 8 minutes of this podcast?
You said that the coach's name was, I don't know.
Not the coach, it was a teacher.
Okay.
It's important, I remember the coach.
But what if, jokingly, all the students said that's what his name was because no one could remember it?
That would be nuts.
You always remember, you always remember those teachers, though. You know what I'm saying? I reminisced about a teacher 2 days ago.
What? Just the way you
reminisced,
said
it. Synonym. I've said
them all. There's the way you set that up was so much. You're not even talking to me. You're about to do stand up.
I know.
So the way you said that, I went, and then you looked to camera. No, because we've all been there, right? You're in school.
Yeah,
your teachers,
know.
You know, does anybody in here have a teacher? Adam, I'm just me. Does anybody ever, like, is anyone from the Midwest?
I know. I just watched that Tony Robbins doc, so I feel like playing the room. But Miss Robish, right? Third grade teacher, first teacher I had a crush on. I would love to find her on Facebook now. Shout out Miss Robish if you're.
We'll put her Instagram handle up here if we could find it.
Great.
The way.
She was the first teacher I had a crush on, and I remember when I invited her in the third grade to my Little League game. What? Who does that? And she came.
Oh, twice.
But not from me, from the guy she brought. And I remember, nope. Was not happy about that.
Edit out the second high five.
No, keep it in because it shows how real and vulnerable I am about this story. She brings this dude, and I literally say, in the third grade, joking but also very serious, I didn't say you could bring anybody. It would have been funny if I said, hey, I don't remember saying there was a plus one in like a fun jokey tone, but
it's the same thing.
Yeah, but you don't have that wherewithal in the third grade. So I just say, I didn't say you could bring anybody. Like, cutting to the truth of the moment and no funny about it.
Uh-huh.
So now I'm making this dude not uncomfortable.
I'm sure he's fine. I'm sure a third grade was 93. I'm sure 11-year-old Adam wasn't much of a threat.
I'm sure he didn't pull Miss Robish aside and go, what the fuck are you embarrassing? This kid.
Were you a big boy when you were 11? I want to put up a picture.
Third grade was. We'll put up a third grade pic. I've got those. And then fourth grade is when the feeling started to taste real good. You'd eat a fucking double quarter sadness burger and get some supersized fries.
Double quarter sadness burger wherewithal? You've tasted them all.
Fourth grade is when things is probably when I started to really, when the teasing became more so because it was, kids are also more confident in fourth grade than third grade to throw insults out. Because they just are. They're just a little more in their own skin and a little more free with everything and not understanding that there's
any sort of ramifications emotionally, because
I also was good at hiding it and not making it seem like it bothered me. And I would just hold it until I went home, and then I would cry until my mom goes, you know what? You can't wear sweatpants at your bar mitzvah. And I was like, touche, bitch. But, you know, I never knew that being big was a problem until other kids went out of their way to say something. And it was other kids or parents, you know, because parents also have no filter and an ability, unfortunately, to be to really be honest, you know. And I used to joke that some dads would say, like, do you finish double fisting those granola bars? You got time for a titty fuck? Hey, we had to go to Costco twice this week. Just kidding on the salads, just the soups. And so I go, that's probably a good indication that it's time to take things down a notch. And my mom goes, let's get some healthier foods. Next thing you know, I dropped 40 pounds in 1996, and here we are.
Interesting. So, Adam, how was the drive up?
Awesome. I like driving.
Oh, that's so funny.
Couldn't be more of a, I'm on first radio show, and they're like, just be upbeat, be positive. How was the drive? Oh, God.
No.
I was laughing
at the bit of me leaving and you not knowing I'm gone.
Yeah.
And then coming back. And it just, it was a smooth.
Yeah. I like all my transitions to be like my Jamba Juice exchanges when I order an Orange Dream Machine.
An Orange Dream Machine.
Same.
Smooth.
So I went to Starbucks, I had a joke like that today.
Did you joke with the baristas?
I got it, Adam. What are you doing? You know, I did a joke at Starbucks. You like to joke with those guys? It's like, let me fucking have my fucking rhythm, man.
Wait. Here's another mom thing. Ready? Say it again.
So I did a joke when I was ordering the Starbucks today.
Do you like to talk to the barista? Like, do you make jokes to them and stuff? Do you?
That's just what you did.
What did he say?
That's just what are you talking about? Also, while we're talking about mom stuff, we talked about it in one of, if not two of our podcasts, whenever we do our singing or rapping or whatever.
Yeah.
But my mom and you, when I'm doing something and I'm either making up a song or whatever, not only will she fill in, like I did the setup and then she'll fill in the rhyme word.
Yeah.
She'll do it before I could. So yeah. It's like, there's nothing, and it wasn't a good choice.
Yeah.
I'm really hungry, drinking my coffee. I'd love to go to the Moffy. Like, no, let me, also that's not even the right time. Let me do it.
Also, Moffies have been closed down for years.
Yeah. That's the reason I had a problem with it.
Okay, so what'd you say?
You know what you do? You do, how hot was it? When I'm just like, I was hot.
And then I go, go on.
Yeah, and I didn't even pause for it.
Yeah.
Watch, say this without a pause. Go, I was really hot, so I changed into a tank top.
I was really hot, so
how hot were you?
Pretty hot. Yeah. Hot enough to change into a tank top.
Yeah, okay, I guess you're kinder than me. this better be good now. I was at Starbucks and you asked for a large black coffee, and I also want to know. Yeah. Not the least I could do, yeah. Literally. And you got to ask. There's nothing you want in it, because nobody is as easy as saying, get me this.
Yep.
And you said no, so I understand the question. And when I ordered Betty and Mine's very complicated chai latte, ooh, almond milk iced with two shots of espresso.
Oh, I've already spit in your coffee if that's what you're ordering to me.
No, but I do it like this beforehand. You'll be Starbucks. And then I'll also do the joke. So when I order the black coffee, just say, would you like it black?
Sure.
Okay. So,
hello, welcome to Starbucks.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're having a pretty good day over here, thinking about getting those holiday CDs out on the rack before Christmas, just because COVID's got everyone down and nothing says, hey, turn your shit around, like a little Alanis Morissette or Tracy Chapman. Hey, she's got a fast car.
Pumpkin spice lattes are already in season.
Donut hole cake pops. They taste just like leaves, which some people would be grossed out by, but we here at the Bucks love it. So what do we have today?
Can I please get a large black coffee?
Sure. Anything in it?
No, I like my coffee like I like my tea, with nothing in it. And a iced soy latte with the almond milk and two shots of espresso.
This is me, the barista, wearing sunglasses inside, just getting a good look at you.
I have autism.
Make it quick! Wow, that's funny. How do they receive it?
Thanks. They went. They couldn't believe it. Also, that wasn't right. I said black, so the whole thing was off.
No, they got it.
But
how do most people, when you joke in places?
Great. Let me tell you, I know the question. You're going to ask, how do they think I dress?
No.
Oh, what? No, I know. How do they receive my throwaway bits?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of these jokes that you do where the people don't know if you're joking or serious. Something that I learned late in life was, funny or not funny, the thing is, there's a chance that they think I'm being mean to them.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know if I'm joking or serious, you might easily think I am fucking with you.
Yes.
And that's what my stand-up was for a long time. So I don't mind. I want to be able to do the same joke. So anyway, I guess what I'm getting is I found a way of delivering it to where it's either they get it and it's funny, or they don't know anything at all.
Cool.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there was a situation where I was with Betty. What was I buying? I was at Rite Aid, and for the Halloween episode.
We get it. You can afford candles.
Keep it in.
Sounded better on the drive over.
You prepped it. I bought some costumes for Halloween, and one of them was this wig. And there's a model, girl model, wearing this wig. It doesn't look like me, but
hot?
It's knockout. Question.
Well, Halloween costume models. You know? Who are they getting?
Yeah, no, it was a knockout question. She was all right.
Yeah.
And so I go and I'm beginning it. I go to the pharmacy, and the woman behind the pharmacy, she's to no fault of her own.
Hat? Sorry.
Knockout question. disgusting. She was, I could tell just from the smell of her that she wasn't in the mood, right? But I, and she could tell from the smell of me, was in the mood. Where do you find that balance? That's what the skill set is.
Yes.
You know, I believe the term is called Read the Room, which you could get at
Amazon Music, Google Play, iTunes, Spotify, recorded at the Famous Punchline in San Francisco. Full thing is available to watch on YouTube, shot in 3-4K cameras.
That's Adam's special, The Room.
Read the Room.
Filmed at a Rite Aid, but I'm going to finish the story, you idiot.
Okay.
So, not you. I just got embarrassed that I bullied you again. I did an episode, I'll tell you later.
Yeah.
I'm like panicking now.
Yeah, good.
So
I can take the bully because I know it's based in love.
Yeah, I'm going to digress then to that. So we did
Josh Wolf.
Yeah, Chaos
Control Chaos
show, and it was so fun. It was Josh Wolf, you, Brent Morin, and me.
Man, three of my favorite people to joke with.
And it was on Zoom and or whatever the thing was, bootleg Zoom.
Yep.
And you know, there's a lag, it's tough. But earlier in the day, I got super high and I did an episode with John Rutnitsky, who was supposed to get high and last minute didn't. For whatever reason, you know him, he plays that insecurity, it's real, but so funny that it is a bit and it's not. So I...
In all fairness, you were on his prank show, you've been Rudnitsky, where he says he's going to do something and then he doesn't, and then he tapes it.
But I was the one taping it.
Yep.
So I'm responsible. And I kind of, we organically got into this position where he's playing this beta.
Yeah.
So I am intentionally going at him because he's being so funny.
Yes.
And it wasn't until an hour in where I kept heightening where I realized maybe he's not liking I think he was. Afterwards, he said it was fine. I still don't know.
Yeah.
But when editing it, I realized, oh, I come off like a real big bully.
Oh, man.
But it was funny. Like, I felt like I was playing the foil.
Yeah.
And it was intentional, but... If people don't know our dynamic...
He knows you. He knows your sensibility.
It's by the audience.
Yes.
I was worried about.
Oh, okay.
I almost wanted to put it up a disclosure. But it went well. People were fine with it. But anyway, I was high. Cut to you later that night. I don't know about you. I don't get high too much during the day. And whenever I get high, I'm just high until I wake up. If I get high at night or if I get high that afternoon, I'm high until I sleep and wake up.
Gotcha.
So now I do our show, and I'm still in this kind of high mode where you're doing, you know, you're doing bits that I feel... First of all, top of the list, are some of the funniest in the world.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's a lot of breath in them.
Yeah, but that's intentional.
It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But when there's four people and there's a lag.
Zoom lag,
and it's just like sometimes, you know, I'm a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
Did you hear the tea one I did earlier? I like my coffee, I like my tea. Destroys.
Yeah. Great on a roof.
Yeah.
You're, but what you were
Get
doing.
Get to it.
What you were. Sorry, as much as you would think there's not a lot of distractions on a roof, and there's not. was one of your goblins riding that bird? And is he going to ride back by and take a poopy in my mouth? I keep seeing it. I want it. Oh, man. Just my luck, he'll probably do it after I close my mouth.
$400.
But there's a lot of flags up here. And
yeah, there's a big red one right there while I was talking about wrapping it up. I'm telling a story.
No, but you did this thing that was great where if I am doing an elongated breathy bit or lack of breath bit that's just going on too long, like this sentence, and you would step in with like some sort of like get to it, whatever, which was great and funny. And
it was just great.
You can't not, and this is why I think the foursome of Josh, Brent, you and myself was so fun, is there was just this very generous banter where it's like nobody wasn't supporting anything the other person was doing, even if it was seemed like a chop down. It was still yes-anding what they were doing and being a part of it. Nobody let anybody sit there and just go in silence. You know what I'm saying?
So it works to me when the audience doesn't have an opinion on what was said. The importance of reaction shots, I can't stress enough, are so big.
I know.
If we cut to Adam after I say something and he's laughing, what I said is funny.
Yeah.
If I did the same exact thing and it cuts to you being a little cold or disconnected, it's, ooh, Rick was a bit rough. Yep. It's not what you do. It's how it's received. And it's interesting to... It's an interesting format where it's not scripted and it is a real moment we're having, but it's a show where reaction shots control their feel. It's almost like reaction shots in podcasts is the musical score to a television show.
Totally.
It shows the audience how we're feeling.
And in a Zoom show, the fuck!
I don't even know what mistake you made.
I don't know. And that's what it would be great. What if happened? I had enough confidence to jump on
the
roof.
The shit. When you said fuck it, because shit finally landed on you.
The audience in a Zoom show controls the reaction shots because you're looking at the screen, but you're deciding when to look at who. So that is also
that's part of the technique I use in this podcast that is important.
Well,
this
is brilliant in that, but I'm saying in the control chaos, we're all on screen at the same time.
Same. Sorry, I thought I had to sneeze.
Oh. do you find when you're messing around with baristas or non-baristas that that they're looking, more of them are either looking for, I guess what I'm saying is, do you think people that we're always looking for
behind me at the house
that I said before we started, something happens later and they go, did you hear it was nearby? It's not on us.
Fuck!
Do you... Hey, man.
I haven't never been outside. I'm always inside.
When you're near the beach, anything can happen. Hi, I'm Vidi Tornalini.
Oh, I wanted you to do Vavu Sassoon or whatever the guy's name was.
Hi, I'm Vidal Sassoon.
All right, No. Just what were we talking about?
Do people that don't think to do bits all the time, are they... How quick can they jump on board versus how quickly do they just not even...
Here's what it is. I'd love to tell you the Rite Aid story. Okay. Hi, I'm Rick Glassman. Do you like shopping for? Yeah, he really is going. So I go in and I put the costume down and we're getting the stuff and it's the small talk that's regular small, like just like, you know, would you like to use your Rite Aid card? I feel like that's professional small talk.
Yep.
And I said, super excited about the wig, you know, kind of feeling the waters if I could be, because I'm in a fun mood, and I'm really not too much.
We're in a costume store.
I'm in a Rite Aid, but a costume section.
Yeah.
At the pharmacy. So they balance out. It's basically at a Walgreens in the drink aisle. And she...
Like buying condoms at the gas station. That's the equivalent of buying costumes at a Rite Aid. Sorry, I was working on a bit from 1984 on your bike.
Why from so long ago?
I don't know.
I do, and I don't want to be a bully. So when I said the costume thing, she didn't like smile or laugh or anything, but her smell changed. Here's play mode, here's neutral, she's here.
Okay.
She went close to neutral, so I'm like, ooh, here we go. Mm-hmm. So I said, not jokingly, I said, she's so, I said, I went to high school with her, this is so fucking weird to see her on this, and which is just a thing. It's not a joke. It's just a playful thing.
Yeah.
And she then lit up. She went to like, she's on my, oh my God. She's like, that's fucking crazy. She didn't that much, but in my head.
Oh, wow.
She went, that's nuts. which would have led for me to be able to play in this and either just have fun and yes, lying, but playing a character in a role. And she would have either never have known, and that would have been what a coincidence, or she would have known, and now she's in on it with me. But Betty said, no, she wasn't. And I said, I was stuck in a moment where if this woman at the pharmacy were to find out that I was lying, I am now fucking with her.
Yeah.
And that makes me, because of my own things, I've worked really hard to not be this way.
An asshole.
Yeah, just fucking with it. And that's not, but the thing is, that
trying to have fun.
Not my intention. I'm just being playful.
You're trying to make her day. Anytime you're going out of your way to make someone's day, it's only fair for them to repay you with a smile.
Sorry, I thought I had to sneeze again.
Oh. With that thing that you do. When you're doing what you do, while you do what you do. Walking into Rite Aid looking for a costume. Maybe you get to the pharmacy.
I was uncomfortable with the spitting and the noises, okay. And I feel like I'm not showcasing a beatbox well, and it's just...
That was good, actually.
It was okay.
Batman, did you drop?
Yeah,
let me start this with a standing ovation. What's up?
I don't give a fuck.
I am white. I am a fucking bum. I do live in a trailer with your mom. How many chairs do I need to make jokes about shooting up schools? 4. And I'll take the opportunity to take the high route and not be rude. Hey, motherfucker, you wanna play with a typhoon? Have you heard these two words?
Too soon!
I just got 100,000 views on one of my heckler videos. Where are you from, dude?
I don't give a fuck!
Now, who's afraid of the big bad?
What? Remember Rozelle? He could do that and at the same time.
He's unforgettable.
Yeah.
Unmemorable?
Unmemorable.
Yeah. So anyway, the point is, if any of you guys are still listening, that I don't want somebody to think I'm fucking with them. I want them to either know I'm joking or have no idea.
Will it ruin your day?
No. It'll ruin Betty's.
Yeah.
Grim over the wrist. But, you know.
Again, I think if you go out of your way to make someone feel good, they just don't pick up on it, you know, that's...
Yeah, good one, dude. Maybe I'll put the last hour in one and a half times fast.
I'm starting a new business where we write the beginnings of inspirational quotes, and then it's called Fill in the Blank.
Sure.
You got to...
Yeah.
We come up with the first half, and you
I'll send you... I'll give you a couple.
Okay. Wait, so you want me to fill them in?
Yeah, I get the game.
Great.
When you're feeling down on your luck, think to yourself, listen, I have a roof over my head.
I've got a bat in the trunk. And I've got 60 raisinettes in the glove compartment. Who's selling whose shoes?
Right. I think, you know, workshop it.
No, give me another one.
Sure. It's not how big your heart is.
It's how much space the cage can hold.
Why don't you try and do one, though?
I am.
Like, that's not a thing. What does that mean? What cage?
The rib cage.
Oh, all right. I feel like cage.
The Nick cage.
Yeah, okay. All right. You got me. Maybe this bully thing isn't so fun. I guess cameras won't see it, but I wanted to say 13.
By the way, that would be great, though, if that's what it was, where it was like, it's how big the cage can hold. And everyone goes, but there's a picture of Nick Cage in a, like, where the rib cage should be.
Yeah, man. Can I just start cutting you off?
You got to be more open to your friend's business ideas.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's a lot of ideas floating around this roof.
Yeah.
And we heard one over there, which.
I'll tell you what. Here's an opportunity where I'm going to give one of my friends a moment to pitch their business.
Okay.
And we'll just fill it in here.
Great.
But let me at least vet them.
Great.
So make the right choice and visit Marshall Carpet One and Rug Gallery. And we promise, with more than 50 years as a family-owned business, we've got you covered.
Okay, good, good, good. We'll find a way to make this podcast work. if I had a lot of money, if I had a lot of money, I would beg you to not put your wires in your spilled coffee.
Oh, God.
You know,
here we go.
A spilled cup of coffee doesn't mean you can't have a friend high. I'm Rick.
I agree.
That's the motivation stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Set me up.
With the quote, finish the quote.
Just with a girl. You know, for somebody who thought that I would know cage meant rib cage, you certainly didn't know the obvious. You know what, I'm bullying you.
Here we go. Ready? A Ferris wheel is a circular trip,
but a flight to Costa Rica is a round trip. Southwest Airlines.
Man, it's tough, isn't it?
Give me another one. I can do it.
If you fall down, get up. But if you stay down,
ask somebody to join you. Because it doesn't matter where you are. What matters is who you're with. Hi, I'm Southwest Airlines.
Not bad.
I feel like I won't miss again. I feel like I feel like I have it locked in. Give me another one.
The sky's the limit. The ground's where it's at. But here at Wells Fargo,
we will eliminate your debt. Because we're not looking to invest your money. We're looking to invest in our future, our customers, you.
Because here at Wells Fargo, we've got all of your money. We're looking to invest it and make some good choices.
Yeah, dude, this was so much work. So, Adam?
Yeah.
Adam, do you know about the...
Although people call me A-Ray, people from college call me
A-Ray. Do you know about my podcast name cadence? There's a form I like to do, and I do it with some of my guests, where you ask the name. It's basically you say the name, and then you realize you're not sure if that is the name, so you ask it.
Gotcha.
And then the person confirms, so you say it. So it's basically a period, a question mark, an explanation. Adam. So you know what I mean, Adam? Adam? Then you say yes.
Yes.
Adam. Does that make sense?
Yes, I love that.
So Adam. Adam?
Yes.
Adam, I'm going to have you give it a try. I want to see how fast people can catch on to this.
Great. So it's like... It's like if I were saying Rick. Rick?
Yeah.
Rick.
Yeah, it's
if there's
a thing.
Chair in the corner and no one's sitting in it.
Is that a problem?
Hi.
I'm Southwest Airlines.
I'm Southwest Airlines. And we've got so many open seats. COVID.
Baby.
By the way, would you ever, real quick, sorry, just speaking of Southwest Airlines, it makes me think of something that I think people want to hear about. Do you get upset or excited when someone gets on the speaker on the plane and starts to do
excited
great
worst case scenario?
That says a lot about you. That to me is the same as, do you say thank you to someone when they open a door for you? There's two types of people. Do you say thank you, or do you just fucking take the gesture and walk away?
Adam, the people that don't say thank you when a door is open for them are the people that litter.
They're Nazis.
But the people that don't like when people make jokes over Southwest Airlines, they're not my kind of people, but they're not bad people necessarily.
The people when the guy gets on and goes, "Hey guys, welcome to Southwest Airlines. We're going to be taking a 3-hour trip to Phoenix. Apparently it's 120 no thanks right now. So I'm going to be, good thing I brought my turtlenecks. Yikes."
Yeah.
And this is, by the way, not at all what anyone's ever done.
You know, I would love to do my stand-up special and call it In the Air. And
I'm taking my shades off. That is a fucking brilliant
idea.
And
doing it for, come on. And also, you get to then use all the devices.
Wow.
And I could go down the cart, and I could do my one-liners or whatever, my throwaway jokes to the people on the aisle.
It's cut up, so you get the opening maybe from there, or maybe from the cockpit. Edit that out. And then you...
You get to do all the devices. I think, here's what it is. You know how people do their sketches at the beginning where they're late for the big show, and then and it looks like, oh, they just made it in time.
Seen enough of that.
We could do one where it's the whole thing is a flight. So I'm starting, taking off the thing, and then I go off, I change into my costume, and then I come out. I even have a flight attendant buckle your seatbelts and stuff to basically do and put your hands together, no filming, whatever.
Rick, I want to help you produce this.
Now listen to this. Now we do it, and as we land, I write some bit in about the people that when they, you know, when you land in Vegas, everybody's applauding.
Yes.
They could do a thing. When we land,
you take off again.
No. I was gonna say where the applause for the end of the show would be. But because I'm explaining how I think it's silly that when people applaud at the end, you know, you plant that seed earlier in the set.
Yes.
So when we land and then the show ends, nobody applauds, and I go, yikes.
Yeah. Except the pilot comes out and applauds, and then you go, but who's flying the plane?
Yeah, but we landed.
Yeah, no, but then you cut the footage of the plane fucking dive bombing.
For transitions, like if I'm doing bits that you love, these kind of bits where they go on there, you could do a fun edit that you couldn't do in a live show where it then cuts to a outside the plane going.
Yes.
And then it's like me, it's basically a little while later when we
you would have to have that. Also, do you have any sort of, and I know you like just artsy avant-garde things that are unexpected,
tasted them all,
do you have any sort of, you know, someone on the plane that's trying to cause a ruckus?
Here's what it is.
Much.
Here's what it is. First of all, having the device of a plane allows for me to do my stand-up as I want and also play in other moments, either just for edits around stuff or just fun bits to play.
Yeah.
The cockpit, for example. Me then being, you know, a position joke that the bit is that it fails to where, oof, and then, like, this is tough. Then the flight attendant could kind of take over and I'm sitting. You know, I could do a bit where I'm sitting and I'm doing a joke to the guy next to me or whatever. And
you're playing a bunch of different characters. This is fucking brilliant.
And also could be during this a B story of a hijacking or something. Or lowjacking?
Yeah.
Hijacking?
Some sort of jacking.
And boy, is my arm tired.
That's the title of the special. Some sort of jacking. Real quick, do female pilots take offense that it's called the cockpit?
I don't think that they're allowed to fly a plane, so it doesn't really matter, which I think is disgusting.
Not true.
Yeah.
There's no female pilots.
Not anymore.
Greg Giraldo, rest in peace. He passed away 10 years ago, a week ago. It was my favorite comic. Still
I know.
Is.
I saw you post something. Yeah. He was unbelievable.
I love that you say that, because him and Jim Henson's passing, probably two of the, and Robin Williams, so impactful on me, because all three of them were just a constant influence on my day-to-day, man. Like, truly, probably not a day went by if I didn't think about all three of them in some fashion of creativity or stand-up or writing or especially as we got on. Jim Henson, you know, wasn't around for the social media burst it was a real bummer that he had so many demons with drugs and whatnot and couldn't get control of that.
What
know?
Was making me think of Greg Giraldo just now? What just happened? from the plane stuff.
Oh, he had some a great bit about female pilots where he goes about being all for it. He goes about how we're not ready for it. He goes, some people don't like that we have female pilots. You know, female pilots. He goes, I went on a flight the other day. This woman pilot gets on. She goes, hi, everyone. This is your captain speaking, Captain Johnson. He goes, and everyone, men and women, looked at each other like, oh, fuck. Like, hey, easy up there, sweetheart. This ain't some Barbie's dreamboat you're working with. Like, and then did this whole...
I don't know.
The bit he was knocking about how people were just, you know, so... I guess just chauvinistic. There's a whole bit prior to it.
You think this looks like a tit?
Literally, whatever you were holding, you were going to say that to. It would have been really great if you were holding.
You think this looks like a tit?
It would have been great if you were holding a tit.
You Jinx. Think this looks like a tit? Mark it. We'll put a tit. You ever see a tit that's not attached to something? It stills hot.
Is
a tit that's attached to a cage? Put up a picture of Nick Cage with big tits.
That picture will be worth the whole episode.
So Boy Are My Arms Tired is my special, and it says...
You have thought this through.
I've never thought. I've thought about different, like, alternative, like, venues. Like, I do really well for my dermatologist, so I wanted to do Killing for My Dermatologist, but I could put him on the plane. Can you take a look at this?
Is this a tit? He's like, I'm a skin guy, Rick.
Yeah, same. What are you, an ass guy?
Doing crowd work to people. Now, here's the thing. Would your mom be on the flight? Would you have people you know? Or is it made up of truly like an audience of.
Well, I don't know. I think that
get someone that's never flown before. Fuck with them.
No, I don't think I really do it. I don't think you really do
put
it in
them
the
outside
air.
The plane.
I don't think you really do it in the air. I just think you have people go like this the whole time.
No way, man. You got to do it in the air.
Boy, are my arms tired, and it is me. I want to do this like after if my Amazon show goes and people like it and it goes to second season, I could do it. Rick Glassman's finally taken off. And boy, are his arms tired.
That's a long title.
You're not going to love the special, but keep reading. There's a couple of throwaways in here you might think are funny.
It's a really great idea. So back to the original question. You enjoy when a flight attendant gets on and
I enjoy
does
when
bits.
People try stuff because it's funny. It's either funny because they're in on the tone and it's intentional and they have their irony or whatever performance character they have.
All right.
Let me finish. It's my turn. This is why it's funny.
I started doing that recently to people and it fucking drives them nuts. Like my mom, if she was just be making normal talk, I would go, all right. She goes, I'm just talking.
Good. You know, I was on a boat recently with I don't know if it was a ship or not, but
prove it.
Okay. Cut to a clip of me with a pirate and some type of joke where he says, "Arg, it's driving me nuts." Talking about the wheel attached to a rope to his balls. Hi, I'm Southwest Airlines. Wait, and boy, are my arms
fine.
He
goes, "These are driving me nuts." And he's holding a can of Planters. And then he goes, "Is this a tit?"
Yeah. He goes, I'm a skin guy.
You love it. You love when people try.
Yeah, but let me explain this to you, because I know you want to do your thing.
No, please. I want the real answer.
But they're either funny because it's funny, or it's the situation is funny because look at this person try. We've all been there. We've all failed. That's why when you watch comics bomb, unless it's a big show for them or whatever reason, but when you're an amazing stand-up comedian, you've done bad. If I'm in the back of the room, I actually don't know if I've ever seen you do bad, to be honest with you. I'm sure it's happened. I haven't seen you do all your shows.
Well, what do you mean by bad? Like, shows come right to my mind. But here's bad, like, did I walk away going, I'm going to quit because of that? One time. And that was the sixth time on stage when I was performing in London, and I lied to get on stage.
Was that when you had the guitar with you?
No, I lied to get on stage. It was a place called the Monkey Bone. It was downstairs, probably 150 people. Rick.
Oh, sorry. I thought I had a sneeze again.
Just a woman on a boat dancing to MJ by herself.
For the audio only, people lie and tell them what's really happening.
There's a guy eating a cake in a fat suit.
Well, that's okay. We don't have a budget for something like that.
Like, sweetheart, please turn on some earlier Michael's work.
I'm going to hijack your story.
No,
I want to finish this part.
Okay.
All right.
But also, the story I was just telling is
we'll
got
put it up
some
for Patreon.
To it.
So, what you can check out at patreon.com/takeyourshoesoff, where we will be putting a lot of bonus content from this sleepover where Adam's talking and I'm in the other room. So, when you're watching a comedian bomb in the back of the room and the audience isn't laughing, it's because their expectations are not being met.
Yes.
And they're uncomfortable for the comedian. But being in the back of the room, knowing how funny you are, and knowing that this set is not going to make or break you, seeing you struggle is funny.
Yes.
One of the big reasons is because I could empathize with that.
Yes.
And watching, there's also something fun, or I guess calming, about not doing as well as you'd like, but one of your friends is in the back of the room, and it's kind of like, yeah, I know.
Yes.
And
it is calming and comforting, and knowing that you can commiserate about it.
So when I'm watching somebody that I don't know in that situation that I've been in and I understand, not just as a comedian, but someone who interpersonally just disconnects to a stranger.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck, man, been there. The situation's funny. Look at him go. He's either oblivious and it's funny, or he doesn't care and it's attractive.
Yeah.
So just, be silly. Make choices.
Yeah, I think not doing well.
I hate that the wind is doing this now. I know people are going to complain about it.
No.
And I forgot my windscreen. Do you mind doing this for the rest of the podcast?
Yes.
This is kind of like when you see LeBron talking to Anthony Davis or someone.
With a towel. And immediately Rachel Nichols is like, what just happened? He was like, in-house.
LeBron was the first person I saw do that kind of stuff. And now other players do it because he knows so many eyes are on him that he doesn't even want people reading their lips.
I love it.
It's the coolest.
I love it.
I always think he's saying stuff like, I got a little dick. You know, people think we're probably talking about the big play or whatever.
Me too. I think that too. Like even when he put up the towel over his face, and Anthony Davis, by the way, didn't even like flinch. He just like looked.
Could you say towel face?
TF. But he was Anthony Davis was looking forward like this, not even nodding like in agreement. So LeBron was just like, I'm gonna go to fucking Applebee's.
LaRose's like, don't move,
we're
don't move.
TGI Fridays, don't fucking move. Look straight ahead, don't fucking smile, don't fucking nod, don't do shit. We're gonna go to TGI Fridays, we're gonna go to Applebee's, we're gonna choose, we're gonna get everything on the fucking menu, but we're gonna put it on fucking Mike D'Antoni's bill. And they're gonna be like, Anthony Davis is like,
speed it up,
Mike
dude.
D'Antoni wasn't even here. Actually, his team got knocked out of the playoffs already. Why would they fucking believe that Mike D'Antoni? Because he stayed in the bubble. He stayed in the bubble to go to all those restaurants because he's a fucking
gangster.
Adam,
we gotta get a big ending to this episode. You want to tell us about your bomb story?
I want to tell you about bombing and doing
that.
Yeah,
well, I don't think you have to after this after this hour and a half.
Hey guys, we're heading to a quick little flight to Alabama where incest is legal. Wah, wah. Anyway, it's going to be about a 2.5 hour flight.
What if those were the jokes the guy was delivering? Like jokes.
I'd lose it.
He thought they were funny. But he was like, you know, like, but it was just a little too real where he's like, yeah, so in case you're into cousin fucking, you're on the right flight. And everyone's like,
dude, that's really funny.
I want to see my family, but I don't know if I want to now. Well, I bet you do.
Hey, I got a question. Do Jews ever fly above 2,000 feet or do they like to fly below the radar? I don't even get it.
Or do they fly with their fleet?
But.
Or do they fly with their feet like Flintstones?
When I do a joke.
Is he saying Jews are Flintstones?
When I do a joke on the Boy or My Arms Tired special and something doesn't go well, you can have a flight attendant say, or if it's about to be a serious joke, you might want to buckle your seatbelts for this. We got a lot of turbulence coming. Adam?
I bombed at MoBetta Mondays, okay? Yeah. It's an all-black room at the Hollywood Improv. And I also was told that D-Ray Davis, who runs the show, and I've had many a nice chats with D-Ray.
D-Ray, is he black?
Yes, and he's fucking hilarious. And somebody told me, I think it was Rita, who manages the Improv, she was like, D-Ray wants you on the show this Monday. I was like, cool.
Is this when you're still new?
No, I'm sorry. This was maybe a year ago.
So today?
A year ago today. A year ago right now. Drink five.
Drink five?
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five.
Mmm, bitter, just like my night at the Improv. So I'm on stage, and D-Ray, who I'm under the impression of, asked for me to be on the show. Mm-hmm. I get up there, he's like, this next guy is a, man, he's a funny cat, man. He's a funny fucking guy. Give it up for Alan's May. Didn't even try with the last name. Gray.
Ray, how much was there in Alan's stay. May, and you kind of just walked up in front of him? Dude. Alan's May was supposed to go up.
Oh, I stutter-stepped. Oh, yeah. Oh, hilarious. Yeah.
Thanks.
That would have been great if an Alan's May went by. Yeah. Goes, Adam, you're next.
But he was nervous, so he just kind of, like when somebody says your name wrong, but you don't correct them. So Alan's May, and you're like, I got, and you're like.
And Alan's, so I go straight to the stage. Alan's May goes, oh, sorry, I didn't know if he was going to call me or you. And he's wearing like the same outfit as me, maybe a mask with my face on it, pulls it back, and it's actually a different guy.
Yeah.
So I'm on stage just, and I'd followed a guy that just crushed with sound effects.
Darren Carter.
Carter-esque with the sound effects and the voices and the energy that was something reminiscent of an old BET special that you laugh at, but it's material and things that you just aren't connecting with because you're talking about things that... The guy crushed, and I went up there trying to be like, I used to work at Albertsons with a Down syndrome kid, and it was just, I didn't read the room, and it was tough.
But if you did read the room, where would people find that?
Amazon, Google Play, Spotify, iTunes, full things on YouTube to watch or listen to as well. Let's get to a clip of it.
If you're looking for just the right flooring, you need choices. At Marshall Carpet One, you'll find thousands of choices, including carpet, hardwood, rugs, get this, luxury vinyl. So make the right choice and visit Marshall Carpet One and Rug Gallery. And we promise, with more than 50 years as a family-owned business, we've got you covered. I promise you that. I guarantee that. I stand by it.
Whenever we cut to a clip of that, it happened last time, I can't monetize it.
Right.
So it's fine, but yeah. You owe me $80.
Right.
So we never left. I'll put up a picture.
Oh, boy. What's sadder than seeing a guy wanting to snap to a break and not getting
the homeless?
The chance? Touché.
Hey, you an ass guy? Does that translate? Does that sound like tushy? Touché?
Yeah. And tushy's a Yiddish word.
Not anymore.
That means... yes, please. No,
all right, so listen.
There's old Jew dad jokes that I'm so excited to make.
We gotta end this episode because we have a lot to do.
First time I really bombed, and I want to you to hear, because I was gonna quit comedy that night. I talk my way into the Monkey Bone, this club in London downtown. I get on stage and I go, I tell the guy, I heard somewhere.
This is not the D-Ray story.
No, sorry.
We're leaving that.
I bombed and just, I couldn't get the crowd on my side. Started doing a little bit of crowd work, and then I started just acknowledging. And just because you made me think of what was the most recent time I truly felt not in control. Because like you said, when you're like, I feel like I've never seen you do bad. I feel like I've always been, and you're the same way, fearless to a point to where I don't let the moment take over. And I always stay in the pocket, and I feel like I've always done a good job of not just giving myself over to the moment and the feeling of the crowd being like, oh, he doesn't got it. You know what I'm saying? You find a way, whether it's acknowledging what's happening or doing crowd work, something to just break away from the action that clearly isn't going well. So I tried to start doing that on the Mo Better Monday show, doing crowd work. That didn't even work. And then I just truly started making fun of what was happening, and then I started to get them.
Cut to a clip.
Shania Twain's got this song, That Don't Impress Me Much. It's like, she's got lines like, so you have a car, that don't imp-. And I'm like, that took me a long time to save up for that Ford Escape.
And we're back.
And so I'm in London, and I talk my way into the club downstairs. I tell the guy I'm in from L.A. I don't have to
up. Let me hear how it would go.
I was just like, hey, man.
I'm just doing my stuff with my other.
You're the manager.
Am I the manager?
Manager,
also booking
booker,
the comics.
And I heard at some point in my life of people talking their way into a club or something.
Let's go.
Hey, do you run the room here?
What's that?
Hi, I'm Adam Ray. I'm a comedian from Los Angeles. I'm in town for a couple weeks. Want to know if you had any time for me to get up on the show tonight.
Hey, Adam. We got a busy night.
It's fine. It's all good. I'll come back another night. I'm only here for a couple of days. So
where you say you're from?
Los Angeles.
Just yeah, you live out there.
Shooting a movie. Yeah, just want to see if
cool.
You had
time. What movie are you doing?
Oh, it's Times and Himes.
Times and Himes.
Times. And it's a buddy cop movie. Ronald Times, Evan Himes.
You're funny. You're joking though, right?
yeah, man. That's funny. It's a commercial. It's a beer commercial.
What's up, man?
What's up, dude? So I don't know if you got time for me to go on stage. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I can go before the host.
Yeah, you know what? How about this? How about we have the host go up? It's a girl.
You're joking, right?
No, it's a girl. Oh. I was making a joke like as if that would be an issue.
Oh.
But it's a girl.
Cool.
Her mother's a pilot. And you could do 5 minutes after her. Just don't
awesome.
Do the
pussy
same
jokes.
Exact jokes as hers. You could do pussy jokes.
Okay.
Just don't copy her exact jokes.
I don't do that.
And don't. Bomb. My reputation is on the line. Where are you looking?
The camera.
What?
So then I go in.
I mean, worst improv.
No, that was great. So then I go in, and the guy, he's a British guy, right?
Oh,
so,
it was a girl host.
Yes.
Or a guy.
A guy. He's the host, the manager, everything. So he gets up there. He's hosting. First comic goes up. Then he's like, all right, this next guy, coming to the stage, I met him outside. He asked me if he wanted to do time. He said he's from Los Angeles. I don't know if he's funny. If he's not, that's on. Don't blame me. All right, he bullied me into.
Your accent started so good.
All right. He literally said, put me on stage. I'm fucking hilarious. He's from Los Angeles. I'm not sure if he's funny or not. Let's give him a chance. Don't blame me if he's not. He just fucking made his way in. Give it up for, what's your name again? What's your name again? From the back, I'm in the back of the room. And I'm fired up. And then guess what? Everything is pulled out. What's your name again? People will start laughing. He's like, what's your name again? I go, Adam Ray. He goes, give him Adam's Adam Ray. I get up there. I go, there's a bald guy, right?
Not that there's anything.
No,
wrong with
but him. I'm giving you context for the joke I made about him.
Right.
I go, hey guys, keep it going for, I'm just thinking like.
That bald fuck who forgot my name.
Not too far from it. I go, I need to comment on that to, again, get control back of what's. He just pulled the rug out from under me.
You think that him doing that kind of, like,
the worst intro ever, dude. No, nothing. I have no chance to win with what he did.
Okay.
He basically was like, I don't know if this guy's funny. Fucking begged me on the street to get
stage time. That's how people used to do intros at the Comedy Store on potlucks.
Yeah.
People be like, I see him around all the time. I don't know if he's funny or not. If he's not, who gives a fuck? It's only 3 minutes. If he is, who gives a fuck? He ain't going to make it because no one in this town makes it. I'm fucking miserable. Please put your hands together for bumfuck, bald bitch, motherfucking clit dicker.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm. And that's really his name.
Yeah.
Though,
you know? And he goes, thanks. That's the first time someone's got my name right.
That, you could have opened with that. What's your name? Yeah, thanks. First time someone's got my name right. Yeah.
That, see, that's funny. And that immediately, see, so, and I should have done something like that. I should have, but instead I just go, by the way, this is my maybe eighth time doing stand up. And I'm overseas and I lied my way into this club.
Well, then
and
you don't have to have them.
Packed house. So I go, guys, keep it going for Phil Collins' ugly stepbrother. Not a hilarious line. Poking fun at him. Got the response that you just gave me. Crickets. Even crickets were like, boo!
Does this cup look like a tit?
So then I go, anyways, and did one of those and tried to get into it. Made a few jokes about London and about their bus system.
Crushed.
And then I did a joke about Arnold Schwarzenegger fucking a cow. It was something about how he's governor. He could do anything. He could fuck a cow if he wanted to, just to set up an act out of Arnold fucking a cow. So I literally go, Arnold could do anything. He could fuck a cow. By the way, I think I have the footage of that. If you want to, I just found a hard drive
we
with
do,
a bunch
we'll put
of stuff.
It up, and if not, keep telling us.
I go, he could even fuck a cow if he wanted to. I go, he could just be like, cow, come here. Lie.
Everybody lie. In the first 2 years had a Schwarzenegger bit.
Did they have a fucking a cow bit?
No. When mine was, I would talk about how my mom talks about how she has a very high tolerance for pain. And I don't remember how we got to Schwarzenegger, but when she stubbed her toe, she validates it. I remember there was a shout out to Doug from college. I remember we went to a Cavs game once and he said, I don't like wings, but these wings are amazing to get me to eat the wings. Oh. And my thought was, oh, you like wings. You just don't like all wings. Yeah. My mom, so she stubs her toe, but she would say, just so we know how much this hurts her, she would say, I could take pain. This is very bad. Just to let us know, I'm not somebody who can't take pain. And I don't remember how I got to, but somehow it involved Schwarzenegger. And my mom and dad loved when I used to do the bit, and I didn't want to do it. But like, dude, it's so funny. And it was just whatever it was, the setup was the act out where I would just go, I could take pain. And I remember thinking then, year one, what I'm thinking now, there's nothing, but my mom and dad liked it so much.
Doing the voice, yeah.
Yeah, it's so something about doing the voice.
I could take pain, except for royal pains. I'm USA, I can't take that pain.
So, Adam,
or deep pain.
My last question for you is, this, how long ago was this?
This was
12 years, 14?
Well, I'm about 15 years, it's 2007, so this was.
So 13 years ago.
But no, so I did probably 10 shows from 2001 to 2004. From before, I did two open mics before I moved from Seattle to LA, and then did a couple frat parties in college. And then when I studied abroad in London, did a couple of these bar shows. So again, 10 to 12 times a stand-up, and then didn't do it again until 2007. And that's when I started to do it, drive to Santa Barbara for 10 minutes.
That was the
same year. Was that?
You said you did it in 2007.
That's when I started. Like every day doing shit. I'm saying I performed 10 to 12 times from 01 to 07, I'm sorry.
We got to wrap this up.
Great. 6'1", favorite color is navy blue. A tit and an ass guy, unless you make me pick. Then I'm a finger guy.
Okay, maybe we have a little more time. What I want to know
I want to finish the story. Yeah. I go, Phil Collins, ugly stepbrother, crickets. Then I do a couple weird other like one-liners about the bus system again. I wish I had footage of that, and I really wish it did crush. So then I do a joke. Michael Jackson just came out with an album, a number one. It was called One, I think. It was of all his number one hits. And I go, Michael Jackson just came out with this new album of all his number one hits. It's got all the classics on there, Beat It, Black or White, and, of course, the single that everyone's talking about. All right, I admit it. I fucked that kid in his ass. That got a pretty good laugh. And then I go, that's big in Germany, apparently. That's not a funny tag. I just felt like...
Yeah, sure. Yeah. You just.
So then that got me back a little bit.
Good. If only it happened here.
Crowd kind of leaned in. This guy's got some mojo, you know, or whatever they say in England for when they're interested.
Spunk, I think.
Yeah, this guy's got some spunk.
Oh, that's what they call cum.
This guy's bloody. They call cum spunk?
Yeah, I was watching a porn.
An English porn?
She was English. Probably still is. I don't know. You never know how to trust these people. And she said in dirty talk, she was calling, give me your spunk. Yeah, give me that spunk. Oh. And there was something cartoony about it.
Yeah.
But there was also something like, it was like she knows something I don't know because of the word that I was into.
Yeah, that would take me out of it. Give me your spunk. Good thing I'm wearing a Band-Aid.
Yeah, great thing. So, to finish the...
So, by the way, the whole set's 5 minutes. So,
I doubt it.
It feels like a 15 to 17 minute set,
Depends on the bus route.
Well, you saw the set.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. I mean, you know what? I take it back. I've seen you bomb once.
This was awful, dude. And I called my mom. I went to a payphone. And I called her and I go, I'm never doing stand-up again. This was the worst night of my life. I mean, I got one laugh from that Michael Jackson joke, and the rest was me just scrambling. I think I tried to do my Folgers joke over there, which didn't really hit. They've got different coffees.
Yeah. I learned that when I used to do a joke where I talk about I'm the type of dude that likes to start a list on his pinky. Otherwise, people think I'm saying good job. And then it goes on with list jokes. But they don't call it pinky. They call it, like, little finger or something.
Weird.
I don't know. It's just interesting that, like, it's the same language, but there are certain terms or references that they don't know that you have to just kind of try out.
Yeah.
Like, I would imagine if I had a lot of jokes that I was trying for the first time in London, I would go to somebody there and be like, do you guys call, what do you call thumbs?
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Should have done that.
So what the fuck? What's the point of this?
I don't know, man. The point is, you fall down, you get up.
And that's our motto.
Here at the Cheesecake Factory.
All right, come on, let's get a big ending because we just cut everything out.
Yeah. Speaking of which, who do you think would race? Who do you think would win in a race between one of these tugboats, the big boats, the motorboats, the yachts, the kayakers? Easy.
That's interesting that you thought kayak was bad, but when you said tugboat and motorboat, all I was thinking was dicks and tits. But then again,
do you remember when you learned what a motorboat was?
Oh,
who taught you?
I was sailing at camp. Shout out to Emma Kaufman Camp in West Virginia, and. It took so long to set up the sail, and then one of the counselors, Josh something, and he was, you know, looking back, he was probably 15, but at the time you think they're cool because he was strong and stuff. And he said, we could get a motorboat. And at the time, I thought he meant burying my face into some titties, but it turns out that's an actual type of boat.
Yeah, I learned about, I don't know, 12. There's a kid named Canude in my neighborhood, a German kid, Canude. He's lived with his grandparents.
As in past tense of canoe?
K-N-U-D. We would call him Nud. But his name was Canute. He was a shithead. But this kid caused a lot of trouble. No parents, if it was like, can Canute come over? They were all like, fuck. It was that type of a kid. But he always had, like, his grandparents had weird juice and stuff at their house and, like, weird German meats and stuff. But this kid was a fucking, he was just the type of kid that you looked up to, and he felt older than he was, but he was your age. But he was the first one to tell me about what motorboating was, show me a porno magazine, show me how to spunk.
Okay, good. I want to get some B-roll of Adam's notebook of, like, all right, talk about Spud.
No, Canute.
Hey, you know. Yeah.
Canute, bus jokes in London don't work.
Yeah, it's basically like all the stuff you've done in other podcasts that haven't worked yet. You're trying to workshop it on this one because we're sleeping over and we can maybe do more.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I hope we can.
Well,
regardless, I am excited for the sleepover.
Yeah, so, I guess I just want to let people know that... that we're going to get, you know, you come over and you get high with me, but either I always tell you I want somebody either to pick you up or let's not get too high, but I just want to get super high tonight. Like, I'm so excited. It's like a legit sleepover.
Yeah.
You know, we'll stay up and we'll laugh and we'll get super baked.
Because the last time we probably had, let's be honest, a kind of a sleepover is when you came to my place, you spunked to my place, and we'll edit in some laughter, and we got real high.
A lot of it.
Fell asleep on the beanbag. We were watching, I think it was the Space Jam making of.
No.
Who from Roger Rabbit?
It was Sister Sister.
Sister Sister. And we got real baked, and you were like, I'm too high to go home. So I was like, cool, just crash. But I was like, I'm going to, and I stayed up as long as possible, and I was like, I'm going to go to bed.
Yeah.
But I think you stayed till like 6 or 7 a.m.
Yeah, I fell asleep, and then I woke up in the morning, and I left. One time I've experienced, like, leaving, picking the walk of shame.
Yeah.
But at that point in my life, that was my first time experiencing it. I do want to tell you a quick walk of shame story.
Let's do it.
I was talking to this girl, and we went on a second date, and I go back to her place, and she has one of those places where it's her mom owns the building, and the first floor is where the mom lives, and the second, it's not even a house. It's like
you had to walk to the mom's place.
No, no, no. It's its own apartment.
You had to shower at the mom first.
No.
Oh. I don't know. Just trying to help make this story get better.
Man, this bullying thing is really rough. No, it's just, you know, a duplex.
Yes, duplex.
And I'm aware that the mom lives below. And so I get to her place and we're kissing and I'm fine with the kissing, but I don't know her and I get nervous to, I don't want to have sex with her.
How's the kissing going?
You tell me.
No.
It's good.
Was it good though? Were you guys like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was good. It was good, but I didn't want to do anything more than that. And we were kissing, but also I don't really drink, but I had a drink with her. So I'm like, I can't drive.
Oh, wow, yeah.
So I end up staying for logistical reasons.
You like this girl. You don't really drink. You had a drink with her.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, it was just, you know, why not? You know, yeah. Every now and then you have a drink. Sure. I'm trying to have a drink.
Yep. You guys are kissing. Mom's downstairs.
Kissing a little bit. So now we go into her. I have to sleep over. So
per the mom's request?
No, no, because I was drinking.
Gotcha.
And my arms were exhausted.
Yep.
So we end up we're
heavy petting.
We're heavy petting in her bed, just kissing. So regular petting.
Great.
And she wants to have sex in a way that,
that's heavy petting. Nobody regular pets to sex. You're kissing and heavy petting, and then somebody goes, time to take the clothes off.
I think it was right before heavy petting.
Great.
Maybe there was heavy panting.
Unless you went to heavy petting. And then downgraded to
regular
petting.
Well, what's a heavy pet? Because there was no penis pussy touch. To me, that's heavy petting. Let's just cut to it.
Well, by the way, they outlawed penis pussy touch from most schools in like the 50s.
Yeah, but also, come on, Adam. What did that add to the story?
I don't know. It just sounds like a Parker Brother game that got off the ground.
So we're just kissing, and I have
the makers of Hungry Hungry Hippo. Penis pussy touch.
Just bring Adam's mic down a little bit. I'll talk to you guys.
No. Okay, so you guys. Heavy petting, I think, is like butt
I don't know if somebody's
it.
Talking about me or this earphones are tough, but my ears are itching.
Butt grabbing, boob squeezing, balls
no,
swiping.
No, no, none of that. No heavy petting. Okay. Regular petting.
Great.
I'm sure a tit was touched.
Yep.
I'm sure a dick was dicked. But, you know, there was no jerking off. There was no tugboat, motorboat, how you doing, Micah guy? Yeah. I don't know. You know, I knew there was supposed to be a rhyme, but who has the hours?
Nice.
And so now I just said to her, I don't really want to have sex. And
did you say it cool like that?
If that was cool, then yeah.
Yeah.
I may have fixed my glasses during the sentence.
Yeah, yeah. Did you nervously rub the back of your neck finger?
I don't know if this is your mom's downstairs. And I normally don't drink. the kissing is good. I do have TMJ disorder, and I want you to know I could kiss for 10 minutes. But
hilarious.
So then I ended up sleeping over, and then I had to leave.
In her bed.
Oh, yeah. So I leave.
The goblin shows up sleeping in her bed.
Yeah.
With like a cutout, cardboard cutout.
Good. We'll put it in, Adam.
I can't wait to get high.
Yeah.
This is sober.
There was something about to get into her place, there's a wooden fence and a wooden gate. And it's, you know, 7 feet high.
Okay.
And it was, I forgot from the night before, you need a key to get even out of it.
Yes.
But I didn't want to wake her. I wanted to leave for whatever reason, and I don't remember the reason. I wanted to leave while she was still asleep.
You were embarrassed.
I was embarrassed.
Probably you had one drink. You didn't like how you felt the next morning.
I just slept at a girl's house that I didn't want to sleep at, but I did sleep at. And I was embarrassed because even though I was the one that said, I don't want to have sex with you, there was something where I felt that I was either a loser or a nerd, or she thought, I bet he's too scared to fuck me, or whatever it was. Yeah. I felt like,
I bet he came in his sleep and he doesn't want to tell me, so he just left. And I bet my mom saw him, and she's going to hold that inside until she is on her deathbed, and then she'll tell me, Mom, you can't smoke while you're dying. Fuck you, Catherine. And by the way, I know there was no penis pussy touch back in the day. And I know that kid came in his pants and then left. And yeah, he didn't know the gate was too tall. But that's on you for not telling him where the key was.
If you want to hear the rest of that story, go to patreon.com/com. yeah, thanks, Adam.
By the way, guys, do a two-man play. One guy just goes on a rant and goes off script.
What, that's what, that's what this has been.
And then goes to the other guy and just goes... He's like, dude, you know what I'm saying?
Like, he like asking me, play.
or now it's your turn to do the lines. But the guy who knew the lines.
Whether it be nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. What have you been doing, guy? It would be like you talking on the phone and then be like, all right, let's go.
Yeah. So the fence is too high.
So anyway, so I had to hop the fence and I'm holding like my clothes from, I had like a sweatshirt and stuff. So I'm just holding stuff.
Yeah.
And I just remember the feeling of like, I'm leaving and I'm sneaking out of a girl's house, but then realizing, oh, I'm also sneaking out. I don't want the mom to see me.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't.
And I was thinking.
And she'll be weird and she'll.
I got
even
it.
If she's nice.
Let me tell the fucking story. Yep. And I am sorry, Adam, but somebody had to say
You're right. You're right.
Okay.
You're right.
Okay. So I'm hopping the fence. And I became aware of not only am I got out of her place, but now I have to be quiet. I'm on the mom's level, and I don't want the mom to see some guy sneaking out of her daughter's place.
Yeah, his tiny little penis bimping over the fence.
But also, I can't open the door, so I'm climbing this thing. It's very much a hey, come look at me when there's some guy climbing a fence carrying stuff.
Ooh.
And I was like ready to like if the mom came through the window, I was ready to say, I didn't fuck your daughter. I didn't fuck your daughter. Yeah. I didn't even want to.
I came in my sleep. I promised.
Anyway, I'm excited to get high tonight, man.
Me too. Well, that's great. I wish that mom would have.
I ended up fucking her.
The mom.
Yeah.
Just so she kept her mouth shut.
Betty. That's how I met Betty.
What?
Yeah.
I'm very gullible. So, are you serious?
No.
Oh.
You think that I hooked up with Betty's daughter, and then snuck out and ended up meeting Betty from that, and Betty.
Yeah. I thought. You hopped over the fence. The mom goes, hey, where you going? You go, I didn't fuck your daughter. She goes, who has? And then you run across the street and a car comes out of nowhere and hits you fucking like Martin Short, pure luck style. And you get hit and you comedically fall, flip over the car, almost like Harry and the Hendersons. And then Betty gets out and goes, oh my goodness, are you okay?
Yeah,
I didn't fuck your daughter. And she goes, I don't have any kids.
I'm Brick.
She goes, Betty. Do you live around here? And then cut to you guys in a Denny's, and you're like, you know, the hash browns here are really good.